All right, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. And if you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to take one of the pew Bibles and turn to page 976. 976. And perhaps more than most sermons, today is going to be really important to follow along in the Scriptures, okay? So I encourage you to take a Bible and follow along today. And so, as you do that, let's bow for just a moment. Father, again, as we just prayed, we're trusting in you to give us understanding of your word, and that by your Spirit, through your word, teaching it to us, that you will do a work in our hearts, that we would grow in our understanding of you, who you are, and what you have done for us, and that it will have a transforming effect on us, Father, that we will be full of joy and the knowledge of you, and just, God, we need you. We need you to breathe life into us. And so do that now by your Spirit, through your word, Father, and through the coming weeks as we look into the book of Ephesians, this book that you have inspired, that you ordained, that we believe every word here in the book of Ephesians is from you, as you work through the original authors, that we can believe this is the Word of God, that it is you speaking to us. And so, God, give us an attitude that truly shows that, Father. And so we just commit this time to you and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You've heard the saying, all that matters in life, and then fill in the blank, or at the end of the day, all I care about is fill in the blank. All right? Many people have those sayings. We've all said similar things. It speaks of priorities in our lives. It speaks of the summation of all that is important to someone. Well, one of my favorite movies, and maybe I've mentioned this to you before, digress here a little bit maybe, but one of my favorite movies since I was a kid was the movie Rocky, okay? Not the six that followed it, okay? But the original Rocky actually won Best Picture, Academy Awards, Best Picture. And the reason is because of its story. It's a simple story where this no-name boxer was quickly heading to the end of his career, never made it out of Philadelphia, and so he gets picked out of a list of long names to be a replacement in this big fight, this huge fight where this guy was supposed to contend for the title against the reigning champion, but the contender got hurt in training and couldn't fight, and so Rocky was picked out of this list to replace the guy just so they wouldn't have to cancel the whole event and it'd be just a big loss. And so the idea is Rocky had no chance of winning. And he believed this as well. In fact, the night before the fight, he's talking to his girlfriend, Adrian, and he tells her, all I want to do is go the distance. I have no chance of winning, but if I can just keep taking his punches and make it to the end, all 15 rounds, that's all I care about, okay? Because all that matters is that at the end of the day, at the end of this life, I'll be able to say, I'm not just another bum from the neighborhood. All that mattered to Rocky was to be able to say that I'm not just another bum from the neighborhood, but I went the distance with the champ. Well, in Philippians, we're not going there, but just in Philippians chapter 3, Paul also has a statement like that. where he speaks of all that matters, all that really is important to him. He says he has given up everything for, according to verse 9, to be found in Christ. All that mattered to Paul. He gave up everything, counted it as loss, so that he could be found in Christ. And so that was how he lived his life. That was his hope. And what we see in the book of Ephesians is that theme running throughout the book of Ephesians is this theme of being found in Christ, to be in Christ. To Paul, the summary of history, the summary of God's purposes, the summary of God's blessings for his people is Christ. Is Christ. Sum it up, it is Christ. Everything is centered and united in Christ. And so, today we're looking at the book of Ephesians. And the book of Ephesians is a letter of the Apostle Paul. We believe that it was during his first imprisonment in Rome that he wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus. He had actually, according to the book of Acts, he had spent 3 years in Ephesus. And there was a mighty work of God there in Ephesus. Not only in the city, but even in the surrounding areas. The gospel just went forth and it transformed not only individual lives, but it was even transforming the culture. People were throwing their idols away. And it was a major revival happening in that area. And so it's believed that Paul is writing this letter to the church in Ephesus, but not just the church, not really the church there in the city of Ephesus that he was involved in, but all these outlying villages that have sprouted up through the gospel going forth further. So a lot of these people, they think that a lot of these churches, a lot of these believers that he may not even have known really all that well based on the wording here of the book of Ephesians. But anyway, that is who he is writing to. And it's a letter because we could tell it's a letter because as we see in the first two verses, we have this greeting where it's very much in the form of a letter. An interesting thing about Paul's letters, and particularly these greetings at the beginning, is they oftentimes give a hint at what the whole book is about. And so I want to point out to you, I just want to look there at verses 1 and 2 for a moment and read that to you. Look what it says. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? You see a pattern here? You see that in just three lines, it is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And that's a hint of what we see in the whole book is that it's centered on Christ. That the point of this book is what God has done for his people in Christ. And that as a result, Paul wants to lay out to the church in Ephesus what God has done for his people through Jesus Christ. And as a result, as we grasp and understand what he has done for us, then we are to live this way. That is the idea, is that God has loved us in Christ, and as a result, we love God in Jesus Christ. That is the theme running through that. And so, I want you to see that. I'm so intent on you seeing that we're going to do something highly unusual here today, okay? Don't be scared, all right? I want us to read the book of Ephesians today. I want us to go from chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to the end. And get an overview of this book today. And so it's kind of like that view from 30,000 feet. Okay? And then in the coming weeks, we're gonna come down lower and get right into it and delve deep into each aspect of this book. But today I want us to get a good overview of what's being said here. and particularly the Christ-centeredness of this book. It reads, particularly chapters 1, 2, and 3, it reads more like a doxology. It really does. And so I hope as we read this, you are worshiping. You should always be worshiping in any sermon as you're worshiping with your heart and your mind. But particularly today, to be able to read this with great hope as we see everything centered on Christ. Now, to help you out on some of the understanding, just to make note as we go through this, as you're following along, I've actually, in some areas where there's pronouns mentioned, is referring to Jesus with he or him or his, I've actually inserted Christ name there, okay, just to help you to follow and continue to see the emphasis on Christ. Every time you see the word Lord, okay, that's referring to Christ. Okay, New Testament, most all the time is when it refers to the Lord, it's referring to Jesus Christ. And so with that, as you see, as we go through this, I think you'll just be able to peer into the mind of Paul a little bit, and of course, with that, the mind of Christ, who inspired Paul to write. So let's begin again at verse 1, at halfway through, at the end of chapter 3, I'm going to stop and make some comments and help us understand things. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6, we'll read that, and I'm going to comment and add some application at the end. Okay? So follow along with me, okay? Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved, which again is referring to Jesus Christ. In Christ, we have redemption through Christ's blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of God's grace, which God lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of God, who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Christ, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of God's glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, and that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which God has called you, what are the riches of God's glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of God's power toward us who believe, according to the working of God's great might, that God worked in Christ when God raised Christ from the dead and seated Christ at God's right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And God put all things under Christ's feet and gave Christ as head over all things to the church, which is Christ's body, the fullness of Christ, who fills all in all. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Christ, and seated us with Christ in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages God might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For Christ Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in the flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that Christ might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And Christ came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through Christ, we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Christ, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to Christ's holy prophets, holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of His power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that God has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Christ. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, God may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to God, who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Folks, these first three chapters of Ephesians, I hope you see, they read like a doxology. As we read, it's just like Paul is just swept up in the Spirit and is writing these things down and is just rejoicing in what he has and what we have in Christ. The point here, folks, I mean, there is a lot of doctrine. What scholars have said is these first three chapters is Paul was laying out doctrine to us that we need to understand as believers in Jesus Christ. But I hope you see here that the context from which these doctrines are given is not as like some theological book that we're supposed to study and just apply our minds to. No, what he is saying here, these doctrines, these glorious doctrines he's laying out from our election to being predestined to our adoption to the redemption, all of these, the church and what he says here about the church, all these doctrines all come out of praise for the love of God that He has poured out on us in Christ. It's just the reality. It is how God has loved us in Christ. These major doctrines that we need to understand, still it all comes out of the reality of God's love for us in Christ. And so what Paul is trying to do in his first three chapters is just help us to see that, to be able to look and examine the huge blessings, the unbelievable blessings, the love that we cannot fully comprehend that has been given to us in Christ. Okay? And then from there, as we grasp this love that God has for us, that it fuels what comes in chapters 4, 5, and 6. Look here. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. After laying out this whole thing, praising the Lord for the love that He has poured out on us in Christ, rejoicing in Christ, he says in verse 1 of chapter 4, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So he says, this is how much God loves you. Look to Christ. Look what He did for you in Christ. Believe it. Seek to understand it more. I pray for you to understand it more. Understand these things, because through that, through understanding His love for you, you will have the power to then, therefore, love me and walk in my ways and obey my commandments. Let's read on. Verse 4, chapter 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when He, Christ, ascended on high, He, Christ, led a host of captives, and He, Christ, gave gifts to men. In saying He ascended, what does it mean but that He had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He, Christ, who descended, is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that Christ might fill all things. And Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Christ, who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about Christ and were taught in Christ, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it might give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ in God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that Christ might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that Christ might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of Christ's body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service or as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that Christ who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. May God bless the reading of his word. So again, folks, as I see Paul's letter, what he was trying to get across, in light of God's great love for us in Christ, we are to love God and love others. As we have seen how he has completely covered everything, we can trust him that he will, the work he started in us, he will finish. And in light of these great promises, we are to live boldly and out of that love, to love God and to love those around us. He has equipped the church to do this. He has called us to live by faith in this love, by us denying ungodliness in the world, by looking to those key relationships in our life, whether it's our spouse, our children, our parents, the church, our employer, our employee, and seeking to love them the way Christ has loved us. To put on the full armor of God that he has provided us for our protection. Our confidence in God's love for us in Christ results in obedience to God. Folks, that's the way it's always been. That's the way it's always been. So often we struggle with trusting God and obeying him because we so doubt his love. We so doubt his love. And Paul's saying, this is how much God loves you. This is what he has done for you in Christ. Look to Christ. It's all with Christ. It's all there. God has ordained it this way. It is all in Christ. Everything, all of history, all of God's purposes, all of his blessings are summed up in Christ. If your hope is in Christ, your future is secure. It is secure. And from eternity past, all the way through, he has secured it. That's what we've been promised. So when we, based in light of that, we can rejoice, trust it, and obey. So as we close here, just four things I want you to think about, to take with you, to keep with you in the coming weeks, okay? And that is, first of all, I want you to meditate on this book. Okay, I don't want to disrupt your regular Bible reading, which I'm trusting that you're doing. But I want this to be an addition. Okay, that you're spending time in the book of Ephesians. If you want to make this your regular Bible reading time, that's great as well. But we need to spend time marinating on God's word in Ephesians. Okay, and allowing the truths that we hear to really soak in and penetrate our hearts and minds. Be reading it after each sermon, the passage we cover that week, go home and read and meditate on it, and get a copy of the sermons and listen to them again, whatever. But just really spend time soaking in the truths of God's word here that we find in Ephesians. Get a brother or sister, sit down with them and go over your notes together. Talk about what you heard and how it spoke to you. We want to see this meditating throughout these coming weeks. Secondly, ask questions. Ask questions. Okay, we're studying this book to grow in our understanding. Paul is continually talking about his prayer for us his prayer for us to grow in our knowledge of Him, our knowledge of His power, knowledge of our position in Christ, knowledge of His love for us. Okay, so I am most certain that I will say things through this course of these weeks that you're not going to understand. And so I'm telling you, I want you to understand. I want you to come and ask questions, okay? If we have a long line after every service, so be it. That's great, okay? Because we've got to understand these things, folks. When we gather here each Sunday morning, it is not just to kind of feel something move inside of us, okay? Most certainly that is part of it. You know, we want our hearts to be moved. But it is to grow our understanding. This is a discipleship time. There's no bad question. Okay, I remember when we used to have Wednesday night Bible studies. I loved some of the most. It seemed like the most basic questions was the ones we really needed to have asked that other people were wondering about, but they were afraid to ask because they were afraid somebody might think they didn't understand things. Okay, don't worry about. Don't fear not understanding something, okay? Ask the questions. I want everybody to be clear. So ask questions. And this should carry on far beyond the book of Ephesians in all of our studies. Thirdly, consider your relationships in the coming weeks. Paul has laid this out in chapters 4, 5, and 6. Consider our relationships. Consider areas of struggle with sin in our lives. And consider them in light of the promises, the truths we hear in this book. Evaluate where there needs to be transformation. How if you believed more in God's promises to you, how it would affect how you live your life, relationships. Maybe share with a brother or sister some of the concerns and struggles you have in your life as we're going through this book. Finally, pray. Pray. What's Paul? Twice. Paul has prayers in here twice. Chapter 1, chapter 3, where he says, I pray for you. I pray for you. If the Apostle Paul was praying for the church at Ephesus, I think that says to us we need to be praying for us to understand these things. Paul was praying that the Ephesian church would understand these things better. So as we go through this book, we need to be praying that we understand these things in a much deeper way. Understand these truths, understand these doctrines, understand these promises, understand God's love for us. So meditate, ask questions, consider your lives, your relationships, your walk with the Lord, your sin, and finally, pray. Pray. I apologize ahead of time at what my shortcomings, how they might hinder us in understanding this, okay? But my prayer is that God is going to overcome all my shortcomings. and that we're through with this study here in Ephesians, we'll be different. You in the pews will be different. This church as a whole will be different. And all glory will go to Christ. All glory to Him. We cannot boast because it is all a work of God from eternity past through to the very end, the future, the very end, into eternity future. It is all a work of God. And we will trust Him to do that work in us in the time we have here together. So with that, let's pray.